It's time to play the game, gals. Welcome to Sobriety Snippets for Women Over 40, where we elevate our mindset and trade hangovers for higher consciousness, one powerful snippet at a time. I'm Becca Jacobson, and today's Monday, gals. We are in the process of exploring Florence Scovel Shinn's A Lovely Little Book, The Game of Life and How to Play It. Man, that's a good title, isn't it? Just the title alone, she nailed it. I'm Becca Jacobson, as I said, and if you're new here in Snippet Land, welcome aboard. We are here exclusively for women over 40 who are struggling with alcohol. That's what we do here, and we do a really good job of it, too. Right now, on Mondays, as I mentioned, we are looking at this beautiful 101-year-old book by Flossie. And we do other books here, too. We look at books because I am a former English professor, and so I bring those skills to the table. And what we do is look at key quotes from the books and how we can use the wisdom there on our journey to sobriety and happy, healthy living and making this the best damn chapter of our lives. That's what we're doing here. I want you to make this the best chapter of your life. And it's got to start, right? We got to start with sobriety. So that's what we're doing. Gals, today we are going to look at the chapter called The Law of Non-Resistance. The Law of Non-Resistance. This law is so misunderstood. Well, actually, most people don't even know about it. And it's so powerful and it's so easy to misunderstand. And it's actually hard to explain how important it is. So I'm going to start not with Flossie, but with an experience that I personally have gone through with this law. Gals, let's face it. One of the reasons we drink, in fact, maybe the only reason, you know, I guess there are others, but the main reason is to avoid feeling our emotions, right? Whether we're tangled up and anxious at the end of the day and we just want to relax, that's avoiding an emotion. Or whether we're stressed or whether, well, even celebrating, whatever, right? We use alcohol to take the edge off our emotions, which means we haven't been dealing with them. We don't deal with our emotions. Well, we talk about that a lot here, but what does this have to do with non-resistance? Gals, the more we resist our emotions, the more tightly they cling to us. I mean, we could stop right there. If you think about that and understand that, and if we believe that, and when we start to experience what that really means, we can realize that what we've been doing all along is making damn sure we're going to continue to feel the same emotions that we're trying to run away from. Right now, I'm teaching my clients how to release their negative emotions. In other words, how to stop resisting them, how to actually approach emotions with curiosity instead of resistance and fear. It's kind of funny, you know, you might feel the emotion of fear and you resist it with fear, double whammy. Or you feel anger and we push against it. We push against it or we have a drink. If we can't get a drink right away, we push against it. We don't want to feel it. We never, never welcome it. We never say, oh, look, how interesting. I'm feeling angry. What does that actually feel like? What would happen if I just let myself feel this anger? And I don't mean vent, I mean feel it. So one of the things we have to learn is to stop resisting. And this is what Flossie writes about in this chapter, the law of non-resistance. So let's go to Flossie. She opens this chapter by saying, nothing on earth can resist an absolutely non-resistant person. The Chinese say that water is the most powerful element because it is perfectly non-resistant. It can wear away a rock and sweep all before it. Water, right? What could be softer? We all know what water can do. Drip, 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 right? I was recently at the ocean. There's a lot of power in that water, and yet it's not resisting anything. It just flows wherever it can flow. It's a beautiful metaphor. Non-resistance, when we think of how water just allows, and yet this is very, very powerful. But what does Flossie mean when she says nothing on earth can resist an absolutely non resistant person. Gals, the more we push against anything, the more tightly it clings to us. You know, we could think about this in terms of individuals who annoy us and we decide we're going to try and change them or push against them in some way, whether it's push them out of our lives or try to get them to behave differently or try to get them to see it our way. The more we do that, the more they resist. And it becomes this tangled up mess, really. But if we just allow, now don't worry, we're going to talk about being a doormat, the difference between being non-resistant and being a doormat. So don't worry, we're going to talk about that. But if we just allow and stop resisting, and another word you could use for this would be control, trying to control. We can't control anything except what? I know you know the answer to this. I know you do. Of course you do. The only thing we can control is our own response to life, our own thoughts, our own words, our own deeds. Everything else is beyond our control. And yet, that's what we spend most of our time doing, trying to control everything that comes towards us. As soon as you stop that and stop resisting, you will be amazed at how easy life just flows. Wow, I didn't resist that person and they just sort of drifted right on out of my life without me even trying. Why? Because I wasn't pushing against them. These are the types of amazing things that can happen to us when we stop resisting. Let's get specific. As I mentioned before, Flossie loves to tell stories and she has a lot of them because she was a coach. She coached people. They would come to her and say, help me with this, help me with that. And she would coach them. And she tells several stories in this chapter. I chose one that I really like because there's several. And you know, if you're reading the book, you know what I'm talking about. But there's a particular story here I decided that we'll actually read, which I don't usually do. It makes the snippet a bit longer than I would like, but we're going to do it today. So here's a story from Flossie, her own experience. Flossie writes, a woman who required money and who knew the spiritual law of opulence was thrown continually in a business way with a man who made her feel very poor. He talked lack and limitation, and she commenced to catch his poverty thoughts. So she disliked him and blamed him for her failure. She knew in order to demonstrate her supply, she must first feel that she had received. A feeling of opulence must precede its manifestation. It dawned upon her one day that she was resisting the situation and seeing two powers instead of one. So she blessed the man and baptized the situation success. She affirmed, as there is only one power, God, this man is here for my good and my prosperity, which was just what he did not seem to be. Soon after that, she met, through this man, a woman who gave her for a service rendered several thousand dollars, and the man moved to a distant city and faded harmoniously from her life. Make the statement, every man is a golden link in the chain of my good, for all men are God in manifestation, awaiting the opportunity given by man himself to serve the divine plan of his life. Gals, this reminds me of another story, and I love this one. This is the story of a villager who has one horse, and his one horse runs away. And all the villagers come to him, his neighbors come to him and say, oh my goodness, that's the worst thing that's ever happened. You only got one horse. Without that one horse, you have nothing. You're now living in total poverty. It's horrible. And the man says, well, I don't know, maybe it is and maybe it isn't. And the next day, his horse returns with five wild horses in tow and brings back, and now the man has six horses. And all the villagers and neighbors say to him, oh, you're the luckiest man of all. Look at you, you have six horses. This is the best thing that's ever happened to you. And he says, oh, I don't know, maybe it is and maybe it isn't. And the next day, the man's son decides to ride one of the wild horses and he's thrown off and breaks his leg. And the villagers come to the man and say, this is horrible, horrible thing that's happened to you. Without your son being able to work, who's going to do all the chores? Your son is now out of order. Oh my goodness, it's horrible, horrible, horrible. And the man says, well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. And the next day, war is declared, and all the young men in the village are drafted into the army. except for this young man, because he's got a broken leg. And the villagers come running and say, oh, you're so lucky that your son broke his leg. And the man says, well, maybe I am and maybe I'm not. And on it goes. You get the point here. Flossie's point and the point of the story is we don't know the bigger picture. And when we try to resist things in our lives, we're actually resisting something we need to learn. We're actually resisting something that's there for our good. And we say a lot here in Snippetland that life is happening for us, not to us. And we resist even that. I will have women say to me, that's nonsense, Becca. Are you trying to tell me that this or that or this thing that happened to me is for my benefit? Well, I don't buy that. There's nothing good about it. Well, that's just resistance. We don't know the bigger picture. If we can just have some faith and trust that things are happening for us. And of course, it helps to have a faith in God to do this. If you don't, you can still have faith. I don't think that we have to be a religious person to have faith in something bigger than ourselves. But I'll leave that to you to decide. The key here is that to resist and decide what's good and bad in our lives is, well, it's pretty arrogant. How the hell do we know? We just don't know the bigger picture. And so Flossie's friend here, the example she gives, the woman is resisting this man and resisting him. And if it wasn't for him, she never would have met the other woman who would end up giving her thousands of dollars for services rendered, etc. And then once that man had served his purpose, he just faded out of her life. As when we stop resisting, you'd be amazed at how things just float away. It's really amazing, including emotions. All right, back to Flossie. A little bit farther along, page 22 in my book, but your pagination is going to be different than mine. Flossie says, so long as man resists a situation, he will have it with him. If he runs away from it, it will run after him. That's it, right there. As long as you resist something, it will continue to follow you and dog you and dog you and dog you. And this applies to alcohol. When we try to plan it and scheme around it and resist it and resist the things that we're using it for, whether it be emotions or relaxation or coping, it's all resistance. We're always tight, tight, tight. What if we just let go? Open our hands, open our heart, open our minds, have faith and allow our lives to unfold the way they're meant to unfold. We're trying to control things that are beyond our control, and it's absolutely exhausting. Exhausting. Now remember, one of Flossie's overarching lessons that she's teaching us throughout this book is the power of the spoken word. She was a big believer in affirmations, not just affirming things that we don't believe, but being able to feel and believe in our affirmations and have faith in them. She says, every affirmation must be carefully worded and completely cover the ground. For example, I knew a woman who was in great need and made a demand for work. She received a great deal of work, but was never paid anything. She now knows to add wonderful service for wonderful pay. We have to be specific about what we want. And here's some beautiful advice for us from Flossie. She says, life is a mirror, and we find only ourselves reflected in our associates. Living in the past is a failure method and a violation of spiritual law. Jesus Christ said, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Lot's wife looked back and was turned into a pillar of salt. The robbers of time are the past and the future. Man should bless the past and forget it if it keeps him in bondage, and bless the future knowing it has in store for him endless joys, but live fully in the now. I couldn't agree with her more. When we start to heal, gals, this becomes simple. It's very difficult to do, however, when we haven't healed our past, when we haven't learned how to allow our emotions safely. It's very difficult to just live in the now and let things be. It's also very difficult to have faith that everything is the way it's supposed to be. One of the greatest gifts that I've been given in sobriety is this general feeling that, you know what? Everything is okay. Even when things aren't okay, even when something's going wrong, I still know in my heart, I can feel in my heart that overall everything is okay. There's a purpose for this and a purpose for that. And I know that I'm loved and cared for and guided because I've spent enough time building a relationship and building my faith that there is a power greater than me. And I can have trust in that power and live my life in confidence and fearlessness. Let me tell you, I had none of that when I was drinking. I was so afraid, gal, so afraid of everything. Flossie says, look well, therefore, to this day. Such is the salutation of the dawn. I love that. Wake up and say, thy will be done this day. Today is a day of completion. I give thanks for this perfect day. Miracle shall follow miracle, and wonders shall never cease. Make this a habit, and one will see wonders and miracles come into her life. That, my dear, is a message from Flossie just for you. Let me say it again. Thy will be done this day. Today is a day of completion. I give thanks for this perfect day. Miracle shall follow miracle, and wonders shall never cease. Make this a habit, and one will see wonders and miracles come into his life. Gals, if we can just be grateful for waking up in the morning and having one more opportunity to show up and do the best that we can do, that's going to take us a long way. And we do this by not resisting whatever's going on in our lives. Remember, life is happening for us, not to us. And that means we don't have to resist anything. No matter what's showing up in your life, including alcohol, it's there to teach you something. And I really firmly believe that those of us who struggle with alcohol were given that struggle for a purpose. Because this struggle with alcohol requires us to step up in ways we otherwise wouldn't. I believe that. You know, I used to just feel sorry for myself. Why me? Because alcohol stole so much of my life. And now I can see that if it wasn't for my struggle with alcohol, I would not be the woman that I am today. And I am a completely different person than I was the day I took my last drink in 2018. I've evolved in ways that I couldn't even imagine. In fact, gals, I couldn't even imagine saying life is happening for me. I was very cynical. You know, the healthiest part of my body was always my eyes because I was constantly rolling them, right? A cynical, sarcastic, angry, resistant. That was me. That was me. But instead today, I can I can giggle at myself and I can allow and not have to resist everything that comes along. You never know, my dear, why the things that are in your life are there. You just don't know. Is it good or is it bad? Maybe it is or maybe it isn't. And I encourage you to just allow things to be and have faith and trust that everything that's coming towards you is there for your benefit. And if you want a little bit more of Snippet Land this week, go ahead and check out my YouTube channel, Sober Living for Women Over 40. The link is in the show notes. Thanks for popping in. Be sure to come back next time so I can keep your head on straight. Sending you buckets of love.